I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. We got 3.5 hours of sports remaining. CY is coming up in an hour and 20 minutes. We'll talk with the Rangers president of baseball operations as they salvaged one in Boston yesterday and have a big series against the Twins coming up. Interesting, Wednesday is off, the rare Wednesday off. Were you looking at the schedule?
In the middle of the series.
Well, it's because, soccer match,
yeah,
right?
We have
soccer match.
We got to shut Croatia, so they're trying not to overlap the traffic there.
Right on. Well, hopefully it helps everything flow smoothly.
I hope it does.
All the England and Croatian fans can move about. It is unfortunate that all of our games, I was looking at all of our games, I was trying to figure out why are all of our games so much more expensive than a lot of the other parts of the country. They all involve like a premium international team coming in here, whether it's England, Portugal, Argentina, or even Japan, who is a very good program and obviously very wealthy nation, and their fans are very passionate. So they're all buying up the tickets. If you want to drive down to Houston, you can actually get in cheaper. Or, you know, go road trip style, you can get in significantly cheaper.
But watching the better teams, being in the better environments, you know, you kind of get what you pay for there.
I did do the Houston when it was a friendly. It was U.S. versus Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down there. Houston's not a bad place to watch a soccer match.
I bet.
It really isn't. I mean, it was, and it was, you know, it was a friendly. The Argentine fans are really into it and stuff, USA. I mean, They beat up on the U.S., but still, Houston, that stadium, not bad for soccer.
Yeah, and
I sat behind the goal is where I sat.
AT&T looks great how they have it decked out there. I mean, behind the goal is an incredible experience, especially for a World Cup game. Yeah, it's a lifetime experience. Well, you know, it's a bucket list type of deal, so I know a lot of people are willing to swipe that credit card.
I reached out to my ticket guy in Dallas here, who I do a lot of work with. And I said, hey, if these tickets come down, let me know. So
right on.
I said, if anything comes down, if it comes down 40, just let me know. And hopefully I get you a couple of tickets there.
I mean, that was one of the headlines over the weekend. Like, you heard in the entire build up to this tournament how there were problems and the demand and the travel and the hotel rooms and all that. But the demand has exceeded the supply significantly. It's time now for Zach Wolchuk's.
Oh, hey.
Mixed bag.
All right, let's do it. Let's go ahead and shake it up and hit the mixed bag next.
You want a chocolate? Mama.
Leave the gut.
Mama.
Take the cannoli.
Mama always said life was like a box of chocolates.
How do they get them back?
Just throw it in the bag.
You never know what you're going to get.
All right, we're at half right now. Belgium and Egypt. Egypt holding a 1-0 lead at the break. So we'll keep you updated on that. But as we were in our commercial break, I stumbled across Liam, one of our Scottish fans who's in Boston.
Is this a stat of the day?
This might be a stat of the day. This might be a stat of the day. And look, we had the biscuits and gravy, which you said was the best two words in all of sports. The Japanese faithful were loving that. The chips and salsa, the Tex-Mex, the barbecue, the burgers, everything's been great. But the Cheesecake Factory has been a home run as well. And the Cheesecake Factory won, Scotland 0, as the Scots got defeated by the portion sizes at Cheesecake Factory. And I have to assume also the tremendous brown bread that they serve.
All of it, yeah, from top to bottom. I mean, just opening up that menu was probably an out-of-body
experience. That's daunting right there.
Yeah.
Holy crap, this thing's a book. This 100%. Is a novel that I'm reading right now. Unbelievable. But we had one of the stunners of all of the tournament earlier today as Spain and Cape Verde go ahead and draw 0-0 total value of players from each team. You had $1.2 billion on the Spanish squad compared to just $55 million for Cape Verde. World Cup ranking 64th. They're the smallest country by land area to ever qualify. They've got a 40-year-old goalkeeper who plays in the Portuguese second division, and their central defenders who play in League of Ireland and UAE Pro League. They've got guys that really aren't even in the biggest clubs in all of the world right now, but they go ahead and shut out minus 1,500 favorite Spain with seven massive saves as their four-year-old goaltender now has over a million followers on social media. He might be the biggest winner of this entire World Cup. I mean, this dude's going to go back and be a king.
For sure.
This is unbelievable.
That's a huge come up.
Hell yes. And a lot of money. Like, if anybody faded Spain on Calci or wherever you're going ahead and playing right now, I mean, I saw some guy put 400K down on Spain to not win at 9% odds. And this trade just, they got 4.7 million out of it.
Wow.
On Polymarket. That is unbelievable.
So quarterbacking at Tech next week.
People are making some big money. Maybe. That might have been Sorsby. Could it have been?
Live from his dorm room.
Okay, speaking of college football.
I don't like Spain right now.
And I need to ask out to my Texas people about this, but there is some buzz here. Sark is not ruling out the possibility that Arch Manning could even play past this season at Texas. He said, quote, you know, we haven't had the discussion, but I will tell you, I wouldn't be surprised. I think Arch really loves college football. I think he loves the University of Texas. He does pretty good through NIL. He's got some pretty good endorsements going right now, which is a credit to him.
Yeah, the money's probably better staying than the, what, $8 million, $10 million to get that
now,
for the first round pick?
100%.
No, first overall pick?
No, if you're the first overall pick, you're getting $40 million guaranteed.
Yes, he's getting, yes.
A year?
It's still worth it if you're the first overall pick.
No, not a year.
No, that's just over the course of your five-year deal or four-year deal, I guess.
Because you've got to
pick up the five.
Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe, I mean, with the NIL money and all the great endorsement deals that they've got there at the University of Texas, possibly. I mean, the path I had heard was start at least two and go. But maybe if this year,
I mean, he's probably
doesn't
getting,
go great.
He's probably getting good advice from his uncles who were telling him, don't listen to these idiots in the media that think you should be the number one overall pick. You are not ready, bro.
You throw like a wide receiver, bro.
You throw like your daddy.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're throwing like Cooper, who was an outstanding wide receiver. So that'll be, I mean, I'm kind of wondering, you know, like, how does he do this year? How does Texas do? I think will be a big thing. But right now, they're going to have a lot of talent going into the first round of the draft if they end up holding up their end of the bargain there with guys like Cam Coleman at wide receiver. Other, like, if you want to look at just who are some of the most experienced teams. And this was the big storyline last year when Indiana won the college football playoff, because now it's all about, wow, they had what, 25-year-olds? Like, that was the knock on it.
Their offensive line, yeah.
But CBS Sports did go ahead and rank, like, who are the most experienced teams for college football next year. And Texas, not doing too bad in that area. But number one, do you guys want to take a guess? Who's the most experienced team heading into 2026, and maybe you want to put something down on them to win the Natty?
I'm going to guess, this is a wild guess, I'm going to say Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, okay.
I guess it's not Indiana 2 years in a row kind of thing.
It's not. It's not Indiana. In fact, Indiana's in the top 10. They're eight. They've got the eighth most experience returning, but they're not. Number one, it's going to be a tough guess. It's not necessarily
a team
that you're...
Minnesota. Northwestern.
No.
Purdue. It's a Big Ten team, isn't it?
It's not a Big Ten team.
Okay, it's a Pac-12 team.
I don't believe so.
You don't believe so?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so this is a random team.
Utah?
They're in. I know they're in the ACC.
Okay.
North Carolina.
Duke.
Miami?
I love Duke. Clemson?
Mm-mm.
Boston College.
Chandler Morris. I'll throw his name
Virginia.
Out there. Virginia. Virginia's at number one, and they are a team that just played for a conference championship last year. Virginia might be a sneaky sleeper team this year in college.
31 years old, average age.
Kind of take Tech is number two, followed by Oklahoma State, who just dominated in the transfer portal. The Oklahoma State Mean
Green.
They
took the whole North Texas team, didn't they?
They did. Ole Miss is at four, and that's an Ole Miss team that was just in the semifinals. So look out for them.
Chambliss is in year nine.
Houston at five. So those are, and look, if all of a sudden Texas Tech, you've got whatever goes on, if they end up getting hit with some type of sanction, they can't play in the Big Ten or Big 12 championship, maybe Houston's a team that can end up surprising people in the Big 12 this year. SMU's at 11. They've got the most experience coming back. Baylor is at 15. Your LSU Tigers are also on here at 13. Mm. Texas and Oklahoma at 20 and 21. For the top most experienced teams coming back.
I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
You don't know if it's a good thing?
I don't know if that's a good thing, you know?
You don't want to be
a bunch of old dudes that can't play.
Well, if they can't play, it worked for Indiana.
I worry about LSU spending $35 million in 7 wins again.
Bunch of has-beens.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that would be...
We've seen that happen.
Then you end up having to fire another coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a tough deal, dude. That really would be. Okay, I'm going to go to our buddy from our UK Cowboys fans. This is Mike, our guy Mike Poland.
Mike Poland,
awesome
good guy.
Great
guy.
Came by, saw us during the season last year. I can't remember which game it was. I want to say Philly.
No.
Before Thanksgiving.
They came to the, remember they had the Kansas City Philly that did the whole week.
Yes, right. So the Philly game.
They
and
have
then
never
the
seen
City
the
game.
Cowboys yeah. lose yeah. in person. I think they're 7-0.
They should probably just get season tickets. Yeah. So I think we should set that up.
Yeah, I think they're 7-0.
That'd be
that
pretty
group.
Damn nice because yeah. that was kind of the highlight of the season. But he went ahead and he lives, I think he's a Scottish faithful
he
actually
is.
As well.
Yeah.
So he compared Cowboy starters to players in the FIFA World Cup. I thought this was kind of fun. Dak Prescott, his comp for Dak would be Harry Kane of England. Mm. He said, Prescott is a veteran captain and distributor like Kane, blending leadership, timing, and finishing. We like that?
Okay.
Harry Kane?
Harry Kane.
Yeah. I would love the career accomplishments of a player at that level. You know, I would think the Dak critics who were soccer savvy are probably throwing up in their mouth a little bit over that comp, Will Chuck.
They don't like him.
No, they're Dak haters. You know,
yeah. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them out there. CeeDee Lamb, his comp.
You just saw Sam Darnold win the Super Bowl, and you're convinced Dak can't do it. There's just something magical about Dak, not the fact that he's never had a defense close to as good as what they had or running game.
CeeDee. Kylian Mbappe,
yeah.
of France. Lamb is Dallas's primary coverage-bending superstar, just as Mbappe is France's defensive game plan breaker. Jake Ferguson, our weekly player show guest. His comp's Chris Wood of New Zealand. I don't know who the hell Chris Wood is, but he writes, Ferguson's big frame, physical strength, contested area toughness, and dependable short area finishing. Best match Wood's classic target man style. And let's go to Tyler Smith. Virgil van Dijk of the Netherlands, the Dutch. Smith's massive frame, reliable week-to-week dominance, balance, and usage and technical control. Best match van Dijk's size, composure, elite positioning, and dependable command on the back
line.
He's
a scorer, too. I believe he scored yesterday against Japan.
Well, and how about John McGinn? The great John McGinn, who had the one goal for Scotland to put them ahead. The comp for John McGinn is D. Winters. Winters, compact linebacker, build, urgency, pursuit, range, toughness, and contact-heavy disruption. Best matches McGinn's stocky but powerful, intelligent midfield style and relentless ball-winning work. So there's just a couple of your comps. I mean, he's got the whole damn roster. He's got Aubrey comping with Cristiano Ronaldo. He goes down there. Aubrey is Dallas's dead ball weapon, much like Ronaldo, who remains his set piece and clutch shot.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Clutch. Yeah.
I like that.
I like that too.
Going with Ronaldo. Solid comps there. Still waiting on the Rangers lineup. We don't have that yet here in the mixed bag. We do have the Twins lineup is out, but I'm waiting to see do we get Corey Seager back. Now, he's had mild concussion symptoms after that home plate collision. He did not play at all against Boston, and we will have CY coming up, as Gavin mentioned a little bit earlier. But the first All-Star voting, we got an update on that. Ezekiel Durant's second place right now among second basemen. Josh Young is fourth among third basemen. So go vote for Durant and Young. I think they're both very deserving. Jock Peterson is fifth in DH. Corey Seager, seventh in shortstop. You've got nobody right now in the top 10 at catcher or first base. Nobody in the top 20 in center field. And now that's going to be quite a musical chairs going on there in the outfield for the Rangers with Evan Carter now down with his oblique injury that he's got. But we really enjoyed the White House card. Shout out to Alan's own Bo Nickel. He was absolutely dominant at the UFC Freedom 250 event at the White House. But as we mentioned, this is a one and done. Dana White said it's just too damn expensive. I'm never doing this again, but goodness gracious.
Sounds like you need to get some sponsorship money involved because the fans loved it.
It was incredible. I mean, for the production element of it, it was greater than I could have ever expected. I was like, this whole idea, like, it sounds really cool. Can you make it work? Well, boy, did they make it work. Now, it started off on like, wow, you're in a rain delay right now. It's just really happening.
Yeah.
But it was pretty quick. It was like a 30-minute deal, and then we got the fights going. The one thing, and the UFC does have an issue with this in general, the pacing. We got to do a better job of this.
That's the most brutal part of it all.
Waiting for the next fight.
Yes. Yeah. And I know they've got packages and stuff ready to roll and put out there, but we really just, like, it was a 7-fight card. But for this thing to end, I think it was like 12:20 when it actually got done, which means like you're pushing close to 1:30 East Coast, and it started at 7 Central. We gotta do a better job of tightening that up a little bit. That was my only complaint. Otherwise, I thought the production was sensational. Every fight ended up topping the previous one. All knockouts. There was not a single judge's decision. Home run performance by the UFC, I thought, yesterday.
Well, thank you, Wolchuk.
Thank you.
There you have a mixed bag. We got C-Note coming up next. Cowboys news of the evening and everything happening with the Cowboys as they launch minicamp in the big arrival and more next on The Fan.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's time now for the C-Note. Cowboys news of the evening. Christian Parker media session gave a progress report on how things are going with the Cowboys defense going into minicamp. Cowboys defensive coordinator, first year on the job, first minicamp underway today, so we'll get you that and more. Segment is brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Chris Young is coming up in an hour. We'll talk with the Rangers president of baseball operations. Okay.
No, see, your lineup just dropped, and he is not in tonight either.
Minor concussion, 4 days, huh? Played the rest of that game, hit a dong. That's tough, man. I guess, you know, those concussions can be kind of sneaky, and you don't want to be playing with any concussion-like symptoms. You can throw off your equilibrium. It's uncomfortable. Sensitivity to light.
Yeah. All of it, man.
You know, so it's no fun, and hopefully Corey Seager can, you know, progress in his recovery pretty quick. But well, that's amongst the questions we'll have for Chris Young here coming up at 4:20. You also have two outfielders, Hellman and our guy Carter, injured over the weekend. So how do they plan on rolling with those punches? Osuna is back up. Could they move Langford to center field? Take a good look at that. Amongst the topics we'll be addressing with CY here coming up in now less than an hour, and then your Rangers pregame tonight at 6:30. Amongst the things Parker said that was quotable here in this piece from Tommy Yarish, DallasCowboys.com, I think it's a very urgent group and a group that is hungry for knowledge and hungry for getting pushed. They want to have collective success. We don't have any selfish guys. We have a bunch of guys who want to do it together. They want to learn. He was asked for more about the urgency and the timeline of the installs and everything. He said, we're still in the undergraduate phase. We were in phase two. We're trying to figure out if the meal card works. Where can I park for 15 minutes without getting towed? All those things. Now we're still in the freshman and one-on-one level. We're starting to get to sophomore year, if you will. And then during training camp, we need to quickly be able to graduate with a master's degree in a five-year program. That's how we see the urgency. That's kind of like what Kobe Durant was talking about last week. But I think this is cool if it's still in its early days, because, you know, last week Dak Prescott talked about how the defensive complexity has already been giving him some issues in their walkthroughs and their OTA practices. So if there is even more in store, that's pretty exciting. He talked about being deliberate about how they do everything. He says it's simple. He says if it's simple, it's important. That's what he said. He says, so how are we tackling? How are we getting off blocks? How are we breaking the huddle? What is our sideline etiquette to get back and get subs in and out of the game? And then what is the foundation of how we want to kill blocks, tackle the football, play with great eyes and great communication? The attention to detail stuff with Christian Parker just continues to be very impressive. Kind of reminds me of listening to Mike Tomlin talk when he starts talking about the collective and all the attention to detail stuff. So hopefully these guys can grasp it. I think it's a massive ask for the most talented and smartest football players in the game to be able to put something like this together and excel in a short period of time. And I will not be surprised if it doesn't come together well immediately. I'm willing to deal with some growing pains here. Is that fair? How much patience should we have with this group?
Yeah, I mean, I do expect them to be getting better as the season goes on. I don't know how much you can really hit the ground running. I mean, you get the Giants in week one. You get the, is it the Commanders in week two?
Commanders in two, yeah. Baltimore in three.
Okay, so by the time you get to week three, all of a sudden you're like, we're going to have a serious offense on our hands, very likely. And so you just don't want it to be, you don't want the lows to be anywhere close to what the lows were last year, right?
Yeah.
But you want to see competence very early, but then also understand that you have a rookie defensive coordinator and everybody playing in a new defense, tons of new faces. My expectation would be by the time you get into mid to late October, you're starting to see, okay, the vision is really starting to come into focus.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and then we'll find out if they have enough of the right players. We'll talk more about some of those guys here coming up in just a second. I wanted to talk Ravens with you briefly, though, because I think one of the great boom or bust hires of all the coaching staffs in the NFL is Declan Doyle.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they hired him, I thought, okay, comes from Ben Johnson, worked there for a year. He'd worked with Sean Payton with the Saints and Broncos. That's a pretty good background. But 29 years old with no play calling experience, I think that could go incredibly bad for him. But after the OTAs and minicamps in Baltimore, you have their defensive coordinator, Anthony, what's his name?
Oh, Weaver? Anthony Weaver.
Anthony Weaver. Yeah. And Zay Flowers, the wide receiver, both quoted in their media heavily saying, this guy is a genius.
Yeah.
They're already blown away. And if Declan Doyle gets the most out of Lamar Jackson and can install a Ben Johnson Shanahan coaching tree offense with Lamar Jackson, that could be devastating.
Hey, I mean, I feel like they're probably primed for a bounce back. When Baltimore's a good team, I think that they hired a coach that seems like, you know, the coaching staff he put together, much like we lauded Shoddy for what he did. I mean, Baltimore, it's all about Lamar Jackson's health, right? Like, if he's healthy, they should be a team that should be able to compete. Their defense has just been surprisingly so poor the last few years because their roster, like on paper, the roster's pretty good. I don't understand why the defense has struggled so much.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe that was coaching to hear the Ravens owner Biscotti talk about it in the week after letting John Harbaugh go. It didn't seem like he had a ton of respect. Now you're bringing in Jesse Minter, a guy who revolutionized the Chargers defense and turned that thing around very quickly and used Derwin James in some ways that were trend setting. Now you give him Kyle Hamilton and Roquan Smith and Matt Ibike and Trey Hendrickson. You know, I definitely think Baltimore week three is a massive litmus test game for the Cowboys, and hopefully this defense is ready to slow them down. Okay, George Pickens is at mandatory minicamp. The question becomes, how ready is he? How much explosive work and how much catching are you doing on your own to stay ready? When Dak talked last week, you know, about the Dak yard workouts, had been a couple, but they were like back in March. So I think it's a great opportunity for the team to get George Pickens in as they continue on this negotiation and see where he's at. I hope, you know, that by the time we get to training camp, there's a date where it's like, okay, you want to negotiate through training camp. We get that. That's a standard veteran move. You're not under a contract. You don't want to risk injury. At what point do we need to make sure you're at practice to be ready for week one? That's the only thing I'd care about if I'm Shoddy. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you can't give a certainty that you're going to be practicing, let's call it 3 weeks out from week one to make sure the body and the legs and the quick twitch and all that is good to go, then I want to consider the possibility that maybe we should be talking with the Jones family about making a trade. And that's when you get to the next topic here in the C-Note. Like, where are we with Max Crosby? And the Landry hat wrote about it today and said you should only revisit this under one condition, and the condition would be Ezeraku and Lawrence kind of fail to launch into good young edge rusher standards, right? You're not feeling like you're going to be able to put together 10 or 12 sacks between those two guys. I would add to that, and I get that. If Ezeraku and Lawrence aren't good enough in the summer or in the early preseason and you can go trade for Max Crosby, yes. But if we're in training camp, one preseason game down, and there's not a clear end to where we're going with George Pickens, let's move for Max Crosby. You in on that? Because the Raiders still don't have a wide receiver one.
No, they don't. I mean, they got Jalen Naylor as a nice wide receiver three. They got Jack Besh, Trey Tucker. Like, that is definitely. Now, of course, you have Bowers is kind of there. Bowers is going to be their guy for sure. But in terms of the wide receiver, yes, like, that is a team that is kind of a blinking light. They could use a wide receiver. Now, do they want to mess with the George Pickens stuff? You have the rookie quarterback. Is that something they want to do? But that does make a ton of sense in terms of they need a bona fide number one wide receiver. And in this scenario, you definitely need an edge rusher. I would just need to be 100% sure that Max Crosby is ready to rock and roll, and we're not getting some clearly diminished version of him based on the knees. Like, I would need that to be totally cleared, but otherwise, I'm down.
Yeah, as long as Max Crosby can be good this year and next year, and it's like the knee stuff might come into play a little bit later on, but you're going to get a couple of great years. I feel like that's all you're planning on getting from George Pickens before you let him go. My question would be back to the coaching staff here, boys, and if you want to be Clayton Adams for me, we're coming to you saying, hey, we're thinking about making our edge group a massive position of strength. We're going to dial the wide receiver group back to CeeDee Lamb and Flannoy and Flip and Valdez-Scantling. Hmm. How are we going to do here? Are we okay with that?
Oh, I'm a big Ryan Flannoy believer. I think Ryan Flannoy is ready to step up as a wide receiver too. But no, I think you're kind of going to be met with, well, hold on a second here. You know, part of the reason why we're excited about this season is we were able to put up top five numbers as an offense, and a big part of that is because we have George Pickens. So you want to try and make that a strength. Well, our strength is our two wide receivers, right? Isn't that kind of what makes our offense amazing and what puts fear into defenses? So I don't think George is going anywhere. I think he's going to be a Dallas Cowboy this year, and then we kind of have that conversation again next offseason. But I love the fact that he's going to be there at minicamp. I think that he's going to be practicing for training camp. I think that is the big thing here. But I do like the idea of still trying to circle back with a Crosby with the sweat. The Crosby thing to me is just seems like that's going to be an in-season type of move. And maybe that still means Pickens is a guy that you could do a swap with. Who knows? I mean, I don't think you could necessarily say, like, we're not going to be interested in trading George come week six or closer to the trade deadline if we don't think we're going to get a long-term deal done with him, if that makes the team better, especially if Ryan Flannoy does prove to you, hey, I'm your wide receiver too, guys. You're okay here. You can do without George.
You guys ever get a scab on your lip? I told you about that pizza pocket situation I had, that pizza roll.
Oh, yeah, the pizza roll herpes.
It dropped cheese lava on my lip.
Yeah. Is it still hurting?
Right as it was about to heal, there was a scab on it that I accidentally peeled off, peeled live skin from my lip. This was like last Thursday. I was in a drive-thru at In-N-Out, and all of a sudden it looked like I had just been slugged in the lip because it was bleeding so bad. So I've been dealing with that all weekend. And I think I might have just ripped it back open.
That's freaking brutal, dude.
I can't turn down the scab pick.
Yeah.
That's too much fun.
It's like
a final boss.
Yeah.
We end on a sad note here in the C note. Alden Smith, former Niner and Cowboy defensive tackle, passing on at 36 over the weekend. One of his final acts was taking pizzas to a food kitchen that fed the homeless, had a big heart. When he got to the Cowboys, he had been out of the league for 4 years, had a solid season, five sacks in that 2020 campaign there with Mike Nolan and Jim Tomsula under Mike McCarthy. But condolences to his family, and hopefully he finds some peace and rest. Okay, we got Krusty's Corner coming up next. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, with minicamp on the horizon, I got some more questions from our guys before we do that. We'll do that next.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fans. It's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com. Here's the king.
Hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's gonna teach you five new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, Lucius. I appreciate you playing that. And thank you to Greystone for being a part of this one as well. 3 days of mini camps coming up. All 3 days we get to go watch.
Hell yeah.
So excited about that. This is the final three practices that we get to watch before training camp. Kind of gone on record here saying I think that they're going to make a move when this thing's all said and done.
Going to get a linebacker, huh?
I don't know anything. Okay, I'm one of those. I'm not saying that
I
anybody
don't know anything.
I'm not saying anybody in the organization walked up to me and said, "You know, Brosh, you're onto something about getting a linebacker, going to get some, you know, another player and all that." I just think they're going to look at their group, and I think some of these guys, these veteran guys, are going to want to go ahead and get into a camp. Because everybody in the league is getting ready to go on vacation for the next 4 weeks. And I don't think some of these guys want to be sitting out waiting until a training camp to get a job.
Yeah, if you're not getting signed this week, you're probably not getting signed till August. Is that kind of the deal?
That's what I kind of feel like. So just a gut feeling that Alex Loomis and those guys, Terry Gray on the pro side over there, are probably lining this thing up to say, hey, listen, let's maybe take about an opportunity. We don't want to wait around, right, guys? Let's, you know, let's not wait till training camp to go get one of these guys. So my apologies. I was just dealing with my dad this morning on some stuff. So
everything all right?
Yeah, everything's cool. Yeah, he went to another doctor's appointment, and it was amazing how these doctors work with him. But
more Cialis. That's always the answer.
Yeah, exactly. More Cialis. But did Christian Parker say anything about the way his Mike linebackers did? Anybody ask that question? Like how he expects the Mike linebackers to play? I mean, or how he is going to use his Mike linebackers? I know he's talked about things where we're not, you know, play him in coverage and stuff like that, but I didn't know if anybody's really expanded on that. Did he? So when he was doing his,
I think the most authoritative word we have on that so far is from Winchy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Ross Winchy, Con Global Media interview last week.
That's the interview that we had with Ross. Listen, if I had the opportunity, I'd sure like to know from Christian Parker. Could you tell me how do you envision your linebackers playing? Is there a team that we can look at? Is someplace that you've been? Is there something that you have in mind? Because if there's a position that I feel like that we're missing on, the evaluation, that the fan base is really not too sure about how this is going to work, I think they're missing the Mike linebacker stuff. You know, and everybody's like, well, Broadus, you're like this old guy. The way you envision linebackers – that's old man way. You know, old man way doesn't cover. Old man way plays downhill. Old man way.
It's playing with the neck roll out there. Old boxy looking.
It didn't seem like they're that worried about the guy covering. Because they feel like the safeties are gonna come into that area and defend the pass.
I'm dealing with a lot of back and forth with people about, Broadus, you're just too old. Your way of linebacker is not the way that linebackers. And I'm like, guys, I'm not getting the impression that this guy wants to play with a cover linebacker.
No. I think it's hybrid linebackers so with the Chiefs, Spags, they lose Chenault.
Yeah.
They did not even go sign a replacement because they're planning on using the safeties plus adding a Loey Gilman to cover that part of the field in the pass defense.
There you go.
They're like, we got Bolton and Tranquil. They're going to go stop the run and maybe blitz a little bit.
Yeah.
And we got safeties coming into that middle part of the field to defend the pass.
I think they could use safeties too, the Cowboys. I mean, they've got a lot. And how are you going to get them all on the field? P.J. Locke, Hooker, Downs.
I think they've got this thing. Now, listen, I'm a little bit okay, let's see, about Overshown playing as that Mike linebacker. I worry about if, in fact, that the Mike linebacker is not going to be a cover guy, which I think Overshown can do.
Mm-hmm.
I think Overshown can do the athletic things you want. Matter of fact, I think you'd be even better on the other side playing as that Will linebacker as opposed to playing as the Mike linebacker. And so it's just in my mind, I'm sort of thinking, they tried to fix the linebacker position. They tried. They tried to get N'Kobe Dean. They tried to sign some guys.
Quay Walker.
They tried to trade for some guys. You know, they tried. They tried. But now it's like, oh, no, we're okay with. And I don't know. Like I say, after all the things that they did, and I'd go ahead and sign Bobby Wagner. I keep saying that, but I would do it. Because I just feel like that if you're going the way that they're going to play this defense and the way they're going to try and defend the run, I don't think Overshown is the ideal piece for that spot. And so that's why I keep pushing for a Bobby Wagner signing. Because I think you need some stoutness at that position. And it's not that, hey, I'm looking at 1988 way of playing defense or Bill Parcells' 1990 defense.
Well, offenses are getting a little bit heavier.
Yeah.
They're running at you a little bit more.
Exactly.
I mean, that's all coming back.
Exactly. That's why I would – I'm thinking that when this is all said and done, when the next 3 days, they're going to make a move before camp.
Just love it.
Throwing it out there.
So these practices do enough to where it's like, okay, we kind of saw it here.
I think they're talking about it right now, Zach.
Okay.
I think they're talking about it right. Even though they're saying, and Overshone's coming out and saying, yeah, we talked about this. I'm the, you know.
I loved what Overshone said, though. I mean, Overshone seemed like he's really embracing this opportunity. But physically, it is a fair question what the requirements are and the toll that playing might can take on your body.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to be able to hold up throughout a 17-game season? Well, I mean, he's never done it anyway in the NFL. So what's your contingency plan? Exactly. Is it the rookie? Is it Barham? Is that enough for you?
Barham's got the body type to do it, but I don't know if they want to go with a rookie guy.
Mm-hmm.
Barham, to me, I love the size and the stoutness. I think that's the kind of player you need to play at that position.
I just hope it's not the Joneses saying, well, we're kind of at the end of our spending. Go make the best of it, guys.
And this is where you can do
Jerry
some
Jones
good.
Is like, man, that Justin Barron, that Langston Patterson, Curtis Robinson, those guys can play some football
please
now.
Please don't do that. Please don't be.
Let me tell you the story of getting off a private plane and stepping into an old Bronco again. You can't have it all.
Yeah. Let me tell you about the time I got my credit
Coach
card
him up.
Cut up.
At left
field. Uh-huh. I don't need to hear that, sir. Just need you to go get another player. By the way, I love the nickname of the Egyptian soccer team. You know what their nicknames are?
No.
They're called the Pharaohs.
Oh,
there you go.
The Pharaohs. I like that. I like the nickname, the Pharaohs.
Let my people go.
Amen. Let my people go. How about this one, Chieftain?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any starters on this defense or offense that's in danger of losing their job? I mean, just looking at the starting 22, is there anybody that you look at and you say, that guy right there is in the biggest danger of losing his job?
I mean, I still think Guyton's going to get the role at left tackle. Everything else, I think, is pretty standard when it comes to the starting 11 with your offense. And then defensively, I mean, they're going to be doing some mix and matching, and it's not going to be the same 11 guys on the field all the time. I mean, I think I feel pretty good about where they're at right now, the guys who are starting, unless like Deron Bland is just really not himself at all and one of these other corners is able to step up. But outside of that, I think they got what they got.
You know,
you're looking at a young guy at the cornerback position that could maybe sneak into a starting role. Is Durant going to be the starting outside corner, or is Revel going to pop the way that they thought he could when they drafted him?
Dawson, you got a thought on that one?
You know, if I had to look offense or defense, I'm going to say Malik Hooker. Because I think P.J. Locke might give you a little bit more versatility, some youth, maybe a little bit more toughness. Stoutness, if you will.
I like that. I like what you're doing.
But I probably have to go to special teams where the punter, Brian Anger, just doesn't have it anymore, does he? No. We need a new punter. So I'd have to cheat other than Hooker.
But I do like your Hooker.
Thank you.
I do like the Hooker one because
she's a good woman.
But you know me, I get into these
just love a good hooker.
Trying to get rid of hookers.
Big rugby fan.
Yeah. How about you there, Wolf?
Yeah, I think it is safety because I think, you know, and it really depends, like, does Kobe Durant say, you know what, I'm your slot corner, and you don't have to play Caleb Downs here, and now Caleb Downs has kind of the freedom to even play some linebacker for you?
Sure.
So you're going to start? Because I think your two safeties, if you're just playing your two basic safeties, that should be Thompson and Downs.
Right.
So I think Hooker really, especially P.J. Locke, and you know, you're hearing all the great stuff about him being a veteran leader and helping out with the young guys. And I know they have a lot of love for Malik Hooker as well and how smart of a football player he is, but they might run into a jam and just getting all these safeties enough snaps.
If we look at Dawson, I think I know your answer.
I'm not predictable.
No, because I've listened to you say it. You don't see Revel as a starter then, right?
No.
Okay, then just hold that thought.
Mm-hmm.
Chief, how about you? Do you see Revel as a starter?
I mean, I'm leaving the door open that for the possibility sure.
As we open training camp, do you think he's going to be the starter?
No, not to open training camp. No.
No.
I think they'll have Durant and Bland to start.
Okay. How about you there?
Not to open camp. I think eventually he could end up being a starter.
Well, he was a starter last year at the end of the season, right?
Right.
I mean, he was the guy.
Yeah.
The guy, when I asked you that question, the first guy that came in my mind was Durant.
Mm-hmm.
Durant, to me, is the guy that has a chance to replace the guy that I think going in we thought was going to be the starter. Am I – you see what I'm talking about?
I think Durant is a starter right now.
But I'm saying, though, I think that
– like Ravel being the starter at the end of the season is now Durant.
I think that they're playing Durant right now. They've been playing him. But I was kind of – Ravel was the starter. And I think going into this thing, he was the starter. So this is – I kind of feel like that maybe if you say, hey, who's a guy that's – who was a starter that's probably going to get replaced?
Okay.
It very well could be Durant play.
Yeah, and I think in nickel, ideally, that's where Durant would then play out or play inside, and you can have Revel play outside. But I am nervous about Bland. I kind of got to see it with Bland.
Yeah.
I tell you, watching Bland, and they told me before this all started, you're not going to see him during the OTAs or any of that stuff. You're not going to see him. It's all training camp stuff. So
I think if Bland can't return to 90% of what he was, you're totally bleeped at corner. Like, I don't even want to imagine a world where Deron Bland isn't a good starter.
Yeah, you're going to have to pray that, like, Kalen Carson actually did click your three. Or the rookie Devin Moore. Like, all right, you found one there. You know, one of those young guys, you're going to have to save your ass.
And I'm doubting that Revel can do it this year. Maybe long-term he can get it. But dang it, that's what we're hoping for.
Yeah.
Like, if Revel's not better than Durant at some point in this season, then, you know, the floor at corner might be lower than we're comfortable talking about right now.
Yeah.
And that's when I say things like I still think this could be one of the worst five defenses in the NFL, you know, because of how much I think they're going to struggle to cover. But there it is, Krusty's Corner.
Thank you, guys.
Brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com. Brian Broaddus, former Cowboy Scout, every afternoon here at this time. Okay, CY's coming up in about 25 minutes. We'll talk baseball with Cy Young. But we got a football fix coming up, Chuck.
Which player needs a Super Bowl the most? Let's talk about that next in the Nation.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.